And I'm only going to read one verse today. Proverbs 18. Hallelujah. Proverbs 18 and verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is saved. I want to preach today. If you're looking for a place, praise God. If you're looking for a place, let us pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord, we thank you for the opportunities and the wonders, the greatness of your spirit, your power, your devotion, your blood today, Lord God. We give you glory. We honor your name. We thank you for all you've done and all that you truly are about to do, Lord God. And we pray in the mighty and matchless name of the only living God that you would anoint these lips of clay to preach the word of God today. That, Lord God, that you would give us divine revelation and understanding, insight. That, Lord God, that you would touch our hearts, our souls, our minds. And develop our spirits, Lord God, we pray today. We give you glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I don't know if the Lord gave me this today. Because of need or out of pity. Because of need or out of pity. Sometimes in the life of a preacher, you have places and times where your mind flows with revelation and with messages and all types of things. And it seems like every time you turn around, the Lord is attempting to minister to you in a different way. He's showing you all types of wonderful things, and you find yourself searching the scriptures, and you go from one portion of scripture to another portion, and you start to put the pieces of the puzzle together, and everything begins to beautifully connect and come together. And before you know it, you've had a diet, a heavenly diet of wonderful things that only the Lord can give you and show you. But then you have the times where you go through the struggles of humanity, struggles of life. You pray, but sometimes it doesn't seem like you're really touching the Lord. The revelations are not flowing. And all of a sudden you feel really human again. Am I right? You feel really human again. Sometimes you feel as though you have spiritual wings on. And now it seems as though you have flat feet and you're standing flat upon the ground. You pray and you pray and you pray, and the more you pray, it seems like the harder the ceiling becomes. just have the difficulty is where you find yourself struggling to break through. And then when you think about if you do break through, where will the Lord take you? What will he say to you? What will he give unto you? So there's a lot of things and questions that go in our minds when we go through these different struggles. Many times we think about how long will we be in the midst of this? How long? If it almost feels as though that the presence of God has eluded you, left you, not there, not existing. The devil comes to tempt you, to rob you, to tell you that you're not a child of God. You're only going through an emotional phenomena. Now your emotions have finally caught up with you, and here's where you are. And of course he tells you it's all in the flesh. It's all between your two ears. Some people, unfortunately, when they reach to that particular plateau, have a tendency to believe what they're hearing. They have a tendency to believe what they're hearing, and as they listen to what they hear, the voice of it all becomes more defined and more stronger and more impressive. I believe that that's the area where the church is right now. I think the church is in that particular area right now. When I say the church, I'm not talking about just this particular local body, but I believe the church is right there right now. I believe it's a kind of a weeding process that the Lord is allowing to take place to see who will break through. And those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. It's all about waiting. And the flesh gets tired of waiting. The flesh gets impatient when it has to wait. The flesh only knows now. And because it only knows and understands now, it wants what it wants now. The struggles of everyday life. The whole world struggles in that. But I think that the Lord wants us, in the midst of that, the Lord began to minister to me in a different way. You know, sometimes you want those messages where they're mind-boggling. Where they wake up the spiritual senses and gets everybody attention and gets everybody on the end of their seat. And those are good messages, and they have their places and they have their reasoning. But now your feet are upon the ground and you're dealing every day with the life situations that you have to deal with. You feel in the fullness of your flesh, and you're no longer flying around on top of the mountain. You're dealing with the reality of circumstances, of situations, of all types of things, one way or another, whether it be through a personal position of your own family life to the political realm, or our children going to school, or whatever it is we're standing with our feet upon the ground. And so sometimes we ask the Lord the question, well, where's the help? Am I right? That's what your flesh says. When your flesh does not feel this wonderful Pentecostal phenomena, the flesh asks the question of where is my help. How sometimes we feel so empty and so unimportant in the world when we are the most important people upon the face of this earth. We're the most important people upon the face of this earth because the Bible tells us that we are the salt of the world. We're the salt of the earth. When you think about it, in other words, the very thing that gives this world preservation and life and seasoning and whatever else it needs, we are the ones that do that, because we're the only ones that are willing to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord God and Savior. But there's a price to be paid in that. There's a price to be paid in it. And sometimes we don't realize that the price that we pay is not a cheap price. It's not a cheap price. But when you compare the price that we pay to what the world has to offer, it's nothing. It really is nothing. Because the only thing I find that the world could offer us is a graveyard. And the Lord offers us life eternal. The Lord offers us life eternal. I think that we have to understand that we are truly pilgrims and we are passing through. Amen. We are pilgrims and we are passing through. And passing through is not always an easy ordeal. It's not easy just to pass through. Because you have to remember, there was a certain portion of your life that didn't even know that you were supposed to pass through. You thought that this was life in itself, and that's all what life was all about. Remember those days? Now, some of you who was raised up in church, you weren't taught that. But some of us who've come out the back door of the world, we learn that. We learn that at one particular time in our life, we assumed that this was all what life was all about. There's a lot of people out there that really assume and think that that's what life is all about. They don't know the things that you know. They don't understand the things that you understand. They don't feel the things that you feel. They don't experience the things that you experience. It lets you to see, it lets you understand that we as children of God are an elite group. You're very elite because you understand something that the world doesn't understand. You see things that the world don't see. You feel and experience things that the world does not experience. These things are the things that the world desires to experience, but they cannot experience them because they're not a physical thing. It cannot be manifested in the flesh. The praise and the worship and the honor that we give to God cannot be manifested in the flesh. And God's response to us as he gives back to us cannot be manifested in the flesh. It cannot. And so many times in our thinking, in our minds, we become disillusioned because of everyday circumstances of life from day to day. We become disillusioned, not about the world, but about our spiritual walk and about who we are and what we're doing and what we should be doing. And sometimes the Lord has to encourage us and help us to understand that all power and all authority is in his hand. Simple. All the power and all authority is in his hands. Well, what's all this for, Brother Gray? I want you to establish something in your mind, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and is saved. There's safety in the Lord. In a very difficult time, in a very difficult world situation, there's safety. He's a strong tower. And the righteous run therein. Now, I know that many people have a disillusionment about what's righteousness. Well, righteousness is not based on those who think they're right. And righteousness is not based on those who think they're right, or righteousness or is not based on those who think they're the only ones. Righteousness is based on the individual that understands their condition and would seek God. See, the most important thing is, the most important thing I find in the modern day Christian situation today is that we have to understand our situation. We have to understand the person that we are. We have to understand how important it is for us to have this need for God. If it's just based on us putting food on the table, or if it's just based on us having a job, or owning our home, or buying a new car, or just the things that we enjoy in the temporalness of this life, then we miss the point. We don't have the understanding that God would want us to have. The Lord is looking to develop people for an eternal situation. And in order for a person to be placed in an eternal situation, they got to depend upon an eternal God. They got to depend upon an eternal God. A God that you can't see. A God that you must worship. A God that you must get his attention and must acknowledge him. He's an eternal God. He's not a God in flesh. Even though he took on flesh, he's not a God in flesh. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He is an eternal God. An eternal God. And I think that the problem is that many times we approach the throne of God, but we don't approach the throne of God with an eternal mind. We've got to approach God's throne with an eternal mind. We have to understand that the object of the Lord is to save us for eternity. And eternity starts today. Today is the day of salvation. Not yesterday. Not the day before, not the day after, but today is a very important day. It matters what you think about God today. It matters what God can do in your life today. It matters because today is an important day. But how much do we take advantage of our days? How many days do we let flutter by that we don't take advantage of? I have missed some days. I have missed some days where I felt as though I really could honestly say is that I might have thought about God, but I might not have thought about him as an eternal being. I might have thought about him as what he could do for me, what he could provide for me. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and is safe. Everybody wants to be safe. Well, look around you. As you look around in this world today, there's not any safe havens around. There's not any place in the world that we can all run to and expect to live a life of ecstasy for the rest of our lives. There's no place upon the face of this earth that is that way. And you know what? It will never be that way until the Lord comes. It will never be that way until the Lord comes. But the beautiful thing is that what we don't understand is, by us being filled with the Holy Ghost and being baptized in Jesus' name, we don't have to wait till the Lord comes. He's my strong tower today. See, the beautiful thing is, I don't have to wait till the Lord comes. I can indulge and involve myself in His presence, enjoy His presence, whether I feel Him or not. We all caught up on our feelings and what we feel and what we feel spiritually. But he never said that it's based on how you feel and what you feel. Sometimes we answer our own prayers by what we feel in the spiritual realm, and we assume that they're answered because we felt this spiritual phenomenon. Am I right? Many times we do that. Well, I think it's just, I really believe that in all of that, it just gives us the confirmation that the Lord heard us. But it doesn't give us the confirmation about what He'll do. Am I right? The Lord heard us. And he acknowledges us that He heard us. Now we have to deal with the situation and struggle to the timing of where it's all completed and where everything that we asked for is done. So it's a confirmation. But the Lord wants to strengthen us and undergird us. He doesn't want us to be wandering around and looking and going from one emotional phenomena to another. I find that the real structure of real Christianity is the mindset that a Christian has. It's not what he feels. It's that his mind is made up. Lord knows I've left my feelings. My feelings have betrayed me so many times. My feelings have betrayed me in senses that, and even in the spiritual sense, sometimes our feelings betray us because we assume that God said something that He didn't say. Or we assume that He's going to do something that He doesn't desire to do. So our feelings betray us. But it's very important to get a spiritual mindset. And I've come to a place in the understanding that the spiritual mindset that the Lord wants the church to develop is thy will be done. Thy will be done. The flesh is not always in agreement with that. Am I right? The flesh is not always in agreement with the will of God. The flesh has its problems with that at times. In fact, more times than we would like to admit, the flesh has a real problem with thy will be done. But the only thing about it is that sometimes the Lord is it's very gracious to us because he doesn't always communicate to us the fullness of his will. And many times he doesn't communicate to us the fullness of his will because our flesh couldn't handle it. Your flesh couldn't handle the fullness of God's will. So what the Lord does is, in a very, very nice way, he piecemeals his will into our life. The scriptures, we find that we receive here a little and there a little and here a little and there a little. He never gives it to you all at once because you couldn't stand it if he gave it to you all at once. Amen. Either you would die from the explosion of God's presence or you'd backslide because you said, I can't do that. It's something about being protected by the name of the Lord. So many times we underestimate Let's turn our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 50. Verse 7. You have to put something in your mind. It's a mindset. It's not what you feel. The Lord will help me. It's a mindset. Amen. The Lord will help me. It's a very simple statement. It doesn't take a great revelation to understand. The Lord will help me. That's what the mind has to understand, that the Lord will help me. I don't care how down and out you are. I don't care how far you are from the mark. I don't care how great the impossibility might be. The Lord will help me. Amen? Now, my brothers might not be able to help me. And people around me might not be able to help me. But the Lord will help me. I think that's a very important mindset that we have to develop. I don't care what you are, what you've done, how bad you've done it. If you have a desire to live for God, the Lord will help you. Amen. Therefore, shall I not be confounded. I shall not be confounded. Now, I know we look at, we are our own worst enemies. Praise God. We live more of the Old Testament than we need to live. That's right. What I mean is that we live perfectly, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And the Lord is pouring a bucket of grace upon us, but we can't receive grace because our flesh is so caught up in living an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's right. And we are our own worst enemies. Our doubts and our fears of what we are rob us of the very blessings and grace of God. It robs us. It steals from us. Because why? Because we don't have the right mindset. The right mindset is saying, God will help me. God will help you. He will help you. Because that's His desire. His desire is to help you. His desire is to deliver you. His desire is to raise you up. But you have to, of course there's an ingredient that you have to bring with it. Yes, there's an ingredient that you have to bring with it. Your ingredient is your desire to live for God. If you only desire that the Lord help you for your temporal reasons, then, you don't really want help from God. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore I have set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. How can you not be ashamed? You will not be ashamed. Well, you know, most of the time when you deal with shame, it's not necessarily where it's just you by yourself, but it also is based on other people that see and are experiencing some of the things that you're experiencing. In other words, they see you in your dilemma. They see you in your situation. They see you in your circumstance. They see you in your midst of your impossibilities. They see that all doors have closed against you and no doors are open. They see it. But yet the scripture tells us that you will not be ashamed. You will not be ashamed because he said, I shall not be ashamed. I know that I shall not be ashamed because my confidence is in the Lord. I have never seen anyone that had their confidence in the Lord that became ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed. In other words, it's more or less like this. Because of God's existence in our life, it really shows up everybody around us if we really trust God. Because God can do things that the world believes that he cannot do. Everything is subject unto God. Everything is subject unto God. That's why the Lord has the ability to help you, because everything is subject unto him. I think that that's a mindset that we have to get in our mind. God will help us because everything is subject unto him. There are so many things that are not subject to you. There are so many things that are not subject to your personality. There's so many things that are not subject to your human makeup. It doesn't care about what your name is, who you think you are, or how much education you got, or what school you went to. It's not subject to you. But everything is subject unto God. Everything is subject unto God. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Every door that he desires to open will open. It must open. It cannot resist him. It cannot stand before him and say, I will not. It shall. And so many times we don't have the mindset to understand that in the midst of our situation, no matter how dreary, no matter how bad, no matter how impossible, no matter what the circumstance is, no matter whether it's the United States government, the German government, the Russian government, whatever government stands against us, God will help me. God will help me. Because why? Because he's a strong tower, and the righteous dwell therein. Amen. I am not righteous because of my own righteousness. I am righteous because his grace has made me righteous. So we got to put that on. It's got to be something that we develop in our minds. We got to develop in our minds. It's not what you feel. Even though we like our feelings, we're close to our feelings. He is near that justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Praise God. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Who's your adversary? The world? The devil, the flesh. You got a whole lot of adversaries. You got adversaries that you don't even know. You got adversaries that you can't even see. All types of adversaries. You should basically be consumed because we have so many adversaries. Behold, the Lord will help me. Again, behold, the Lord will help me. In other words, I don't want anyone to leave here today with your faith dimmed. The Lord will help you. He will help you. How? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how he will. But he will. Now, in your mind and in the set of your mind, here's what everyone thinks. Well, Lord, this needs to be done, and this needs to be taken care of, and this needs to be done like this and done like that in order for it to come to fold. Human thinking again. That's human thinking. And that's our problem, human thinking. Holy Ghost filled people, human thinking. I don't care what happens. I don't care what the Lord does. I don't need to know the scenario. I don't need to know the formula. I just need it to be done. That makes sense? I don't need to know the formula. There is no method to the madness. Everybody, we think it's got to be a method. It's got to be, I've learned something since I've been in the church. And this is what I learned. If the Lord had touched Brother Enos and raised Brother Enos up from a particular disease or sickness or whatever, and if I came and contracted that particular disease or sickness, I would go to Brother Enos and ask Brother Enos what he did. That's what I would do. That's our thinking, human thinking. So I asked Brother Enos what he did. The Lord healed him. So what's the method? What's the system? Well, I find that there is no system. There is no system. And there's no guarantees. Because we're dealing with the will of God. There's no system, there's no guarantees. But we do know one thing, that the Lord is bounded to his word. And he will keep his word. But you have to understand what the Lord did in Brother Enos' life what the Lord did in Brother Enos' life in order to raise him up from that disease, it took his mindset. See, Brother Enos' mindset is different from mine. We're different people. The direction that the Lord might take me is not the same direction that the Lord took him. And so whatever method, I can go in and use his methods all I desire. But the Lord might say, well, that's not what you need. That's not what you need. And so the Lord takes you through a scenario. Okay, he healed him instantaneously, and maybe the Lord takes me through a series of a situation where it takes me 10 years to get healed. Is it any less? No, it's not any less. It's just our mindsets were different. The Lord will help you. I want you to understand, church, the Lord will help you. Don't let the world tell you that the Lord will not help you. The Lord will help you. But he's trying to help you to develop an eternal and a spiritual mindset. He is a strong tower. The righteous dwell therein. And we will be safe. He will not leave you comfortless out in this world. He will not leave you out there. He will not let the world trodden on you and walk on you. He will not. He's already paid the price. But there is some suffering that we have to deal with. It's not a free ticket. It's not a free situation. Acts chapter 4, verse 7. When they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Question. This is Peter and them dealing with the high priest. And then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means is he made whole? By what means? What method? That's what the elders wanted to know. What'd y'all do? What'd y'all say? What name did you use? What power did you use? Is it being known unto all of the people of Israel and Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised up from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you. Y'all killed him. Y'all crucified him. He ascended. and through the power of his name. Now listen, through the power of his name, this man stands here whole. This is in the very first century church. They're dealing with the same scenarios of life that we deal with. They're dealing with the same God that has the same power. Now they're standing up in the midst of the elders, and they're trying to, and they're giving the elders a simple explanation of what took place. Very simple. I want your minds to rest today. It's a very simple explanation. And this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. And neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's a simple process. It's not hard. Amen. It's something about the power of Jesus' name. There's something about the power of that name. Well, Brother Greg, I pray to him all the time. Do you have the mindset? Do you have the mindset of the power of that name? See, it's something I find that most miracles are done through the position of our thinking. Do we have the mindset? Do you have the mindset? Sometimes we just obliterately just sitting down waiting for something to happen. You know? I'm praying. So in other words, you're going through the physical and the spiritual exercise, and you really don't have a goal. You know, when you work out or when you do something, you got a goal, but you really don't have a goal. So you're saying, "I'm just praying." You got something. You are trying to reach something. You're attempting to reach something. You're trying to go somewhere where you feel as though that you need to go, and you're trying to get there. And you're going through the spiritual exercise, and you're praying, and you're calling upon the Lord, and you're seeking God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. Well, at least you think you are, only because you're going through the calisthenics. But what about the mindset? What about the mindset when the flesh says, "I'm tired of praying"? What about the mindset when the flesh tells you, "I don't feel anything anymore"? Sometimes the flesh tells us, well, maybe we need to speak in tongues. I believe it's got to be a mindset, something that we develop in our mind, that God will never fail us, that God will strengthen us, that God will save us, that God will keep us. Yes, we need to go through the spiritual calisthenics of prayer, but no, it's no use of going through the spiritual calisthenics of prayer if we don't have that mindset. Because I find that many times in prayer, I don't even have to mention it to God. I don't even have to mention it to God. All I have to do is just go into his presence and just acknowledge him for who he is. Sometimes we're wore out because of our own prayers. Am I right? You ever beat yourself up because you prayed so hard? You fasted so hard? You sought the face of God, which is good. But it comes to a point that God wants us to rest and develop that mindset that he's heard our prayer and he will answer and he will help you. But sometimes our calisthenics can take us right out of the presence of God, right out of the way into a different area, into a different place, to where we become confused and the Lord's not that tower and that strength that we really need to be. It's got to be in our mind. Got to be in our minds. Some people ask me, they ask me about certain situations in my life, and they want to see my response. And my response is, the Lord will work it. The Lord will work it. And I don't say it lightly. I feel very positive. That the days might grow short, I still feel very positive about it because God is not subject to time. Amen. He's not subject to time. It's got to be our mindset. It's got to be how we feel and how we think about the things of God. How God labors to minister to us, to let us know that we are saved. You are saved. You are protected. The gates of hell cannot prevail against you. It didn't say just because the gates of hell cannot prevail against you, that doesn't mean that the gates of hell will not fight against you. They will fight you. And you should be an ongoing force to fight back. If you're sitting around just waiting for God to do something, you got the wrong mindset. Because the Lord expects you to do something too. You got the wrong mindset. A man cannot go to war unless he equips himself in battle. So he's got to put on his battle armor. And we have to go out there and we have to attempt to rage the battle. We can't win the battle. And I believe if we fight the battle in our flesh, we won't last long. You won't last long. You'll be taken down real quickly. You won't last long. Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to close with. I wanted to give y'all something to think about today. I didn't want to blow you out the water. I want you to think today, because it's very important that we structure a thought pattern towards the things of God. Verse 2 and verse 1, and he hath quickened, and you he hath quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. In other words, we had no life in the presence of God. Now, of course, the devil would want you to assume that you were still in that same state. And he does it through your flesh. Because that's what your flesh tells you. Your flesh tells you that. And in return, what we do is when our flesh tells us that, we tell other people that. We tell other people that. Because it's always based on what you can do, what you don't do. It's only based on what he's already done. and how we receive what he's already done. No, God forbid, we should not live in sin. No. But this transcends the sin matter if you really want to live for God. It really transcends it. It takes you to a realm like the scriptures talk about where you walk higher than the human situation itself. Not because you're holy, not because you're holy within yourself, and not because of your own self-righteousness. It's because the Lord has made you holy. The Lord has sanctified you. The Lord has come into your life. The Lord has made the difference in your life. And so it says, and it reminds us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, and you he has quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world. And this is something that the church should not do. We should not be walking in the course of this world. The Bible says, be ye separated. Amen. Some people, now listen, hear me. Some people cannot get a victory because they're walking according to the position of this world. If you're walking according to the position of this world, victory will elude you. Somewhere, this world will become a stumbling block to what you need from the Lord. And then he talks about, and then he says, according to the prince of power of the air, which is the devil himself, in his desire to appear to man as though he is omnipresent and he is everywhere at the same time. He is not everywhere at the same time. He is a created being. He does not He is not like God. He designates a certain area and a certain space. What gives him the information that he needs is through the kingdom that he's developed. So he appears and wants you to believe that he's omnipresent. He is not omnipresent. Far from it. He has a beginning. And he could, if it was the will of God, have an ending. Amen. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. This is the spirit that worketh now in the children of disobedience. This is why we are in such a situation that we really, I believe, and according to scripture, we can see that it was always so. We really worry about our children. Because of the spirits of this world. The spirits of this world. You are fighting a spiritual warfare. This is not a physical battle. You heard what the brother said at Sunday school. Or at the scripture reading. This is not a physical battle. You're not wrestling against human beings. You're not wrestling against people. It is not just people who are against you. People are against you because they are taken over by spirits. Overtaken by spirits. So if you look at it as a personal thing, and you know what? You can look at it as a personal thing because in the spiritual world, the devil knows who you are. He knows who you are. The spirit now that worketh in the children of disobedience is working right now. It never stops working. Among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. Where is the children of disobedience trapped? In the lust of their flesh. What are we fighting? the lust that's within our flesh. We've got to bring it under subjection that we can hear the voice of God and have victories. That's what you're fighting. If anyone in here doesn't have any lust in their flesh, just please fly out the door. Just fly out the door, because you're not standing on the ground. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, whereby nature, the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is richly in God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trust and dead in sin, and has quickened us together with Christ. By what? By what? Say it louder. Are you convinced of that? Are you convinced of that? Grace. When are we going to use it? When are we going to take advantage of God's grace? Grace. When are we going to stop declaring judgment on each other? Grace. Get in the book. And when I say get in the book, I'm not saying just read scripture just for the sake of reading scripture. Let the Lord minister to your heart. It's grace. Grace. Not one individual, I don't care where they are, who they are, what pulpit they stand in, have earned the position to be in the presence of God. It's all been by grace. Grace! And if you stay in the presence of God, it's by grace. You can work it all you want. You can be goody two shoes, perfect this, perfect at that, perfect at this, perfect at that, and you can judge everybody else. But you know what? You won't make it, because you will not experience grace. It's grace. It's grace. Remember, that's a mindset. It's grace. When you drop the ball and you fall on your face, who picks you up? The flesh doesn't pick you up. It's grace that picks you up. Grace says, get up. What you laying there for? Go and pray. Amen? What would a man do? A man would put his foot on your neck and say, you ain't fit to stand before the presence of God. But grace says, get up. Go pray. See, this is the mindset. This is what is destroying what God's trying to do. The church got all kind of power, but we forget where we at. We need to exercise grace. When we exercise grace, our churches will grow so fast. Now, when I'm talking about grace, I'm not talking about what we, you know, we. I'm not talking about us compromising, taking our stand of holiness and all that. I'm saying just exercising grace, where we bring in, where people walk into this door and feel as though this is the place where God has sent them to be, and they don't have to catch up with us. Okay. I'm tired of people trying to catch up with us. Don't try to catch up with me. I've been around this thing quite a long time. Don't try to catch up with me. What you do is you sit there, plant you some roots, and you grow. And if you plant some roots and grow, you'll be all right. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. But if you try to catch up with me, you're going to be in trouble. Because you don't know the trials and the situation I went through to get where I'm at. You don't know the things that I've been through. And not only that, you couldn't deal with it all at one time, because I couldn't deal with it all at one time. It would overwhelm you. It would consume you. it's very important for us to understand it's grace. Grace. It's by grace you're saved. By grace you're saved. We need to go back and preach this in every apostolic church. By grace we're saved. By grace we're saved. Amen. And let people grow. And let people grow in Christ. Learn Christ. Find that his yoke is light compared to the yoke of the world. Amen. We can bring them in here and yoke them up as soon as we get them. Beat them up. Bruise them up. Take things off them. Put things on them. You ain't saved nobody. Who you saved? Who you saved? I don't care if you want them or not. You didn't save them. Praise God. Hallelujah. And hath raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kingdom, in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. You know what? I don't think that a lot of people have really looked at verse 7. Verse 7 is talking about an experience that's beyond this world. It's talking about the ages to come. How many ages will the Lord take us through? What is he really preparing us for? Sometimes we don't really look in the scriptures. See, why? Why? Because we're serving an eternal God. And we're pilgrims passing through an age. We are pilgrims that are passing through an age. We're passing through an age. And in that ages to come, he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us. Towards us through Christ Jesus. That here is where, and more like, here's what it's really saying. Here is where grace started. And here is where grace is taking you to. It says go through ages. That's not a human thing. That's an eternal thing. Eternal thing. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous dwell therein and are safe. Praise God. Safe. Because we sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Not in the flesh. Not in the mind. But it's constructed through our mind. Think about the ages to come. I remember years ago when I first read that scripture, I thought, this is pretty powerful. Ages to come. Because we serve an eternal God. If you're serving God temporally, you'll get temporal things. That's what you'll get. You'll get temporal things. Let me ask you a question. You can sit here and we sit here in the midst of ourselves and Holy Ghost baptized in Jesus' name. But it's not one of you in here that don't know people out there that have prayed and received something from God. Brother Enos was telling me about the man in Malta that said he was healed from a child. Now, of course, naturally, he prayed to an idol. That idol didn't heal him. But there was something in his human mechanism, his human makeup, that somehow touched God. And God healed him. Even though he went through the means of an idol. Now that's for this life. But in order for him to come to a position of eternal life, he's got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. got to be born again. But your rebirth is not just for this life. It's for the ages to come. For the ages to come. I don't know what these different ages will be like. Who does? The scriptures will never tell us that. Those are only things that God knows and understands in heaven. We don't understand those. But we do know the age that we live in. And we know what we stand against. And we only know, I can tell anybody, the only way that I know that I can get through this age successfully is by the grace of God. Let's stay. By the grace of God. I want to tear down all false hopes. And I want to reconstruct the reality of the Word of God. Amen. Because that's where victory will lie. That's where the testimony will grow. That's where people will be saved from, and the work of God will continue. Amen. The Lord is good to us in so many ways.